Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, December 12th through Sunday, December 18th, 2022. The commentary for December was written by Sally Sisler, born and raised in West Virginia. After a long career in marketing and communication, she answered the call to ordain ministry and serves at a rural Episcopal church in southern Ohio. She and her husband, a retired judge and deacon, have two sons and four grandchildren. The commentary for Monday, December 12th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 40b through 43. Pray that you may not come into the time of trial. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. The time of trial is real. My first experience was when our infant son experienced failure to thrive. We found the right specialist and the time of trial passed. My next time of trial came 40 years later when my husband and I were both diagnosed with cancer in the same week. This time passed as well. During those times, I walked through the world like a sleepwalker, shrouded in grief. Looking back at the first experience, healing began when I read Frederick Buchner's book, The Sacred Journey, with friends. 40 years later, anxious about our diagnoses, my husband and I heard theologian Barbara Brown Taylor speak about her book, An Altar in the World. Our prayers in the times of trial were answered by God's leading us to places of refreshment and spiritual growth. Now I'll read from the complete passage for this day, Luke 22, verses 39 through 53. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, Pray that you may not come into the time of trial. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man? When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, Lord, should we strike with the sword? Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, No more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. And the moving forward question for this Monday, December 12th, is, what books or resources have given you strength in times of trial? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, December 13th. It begins with a passage from Luke chapter 22, verses 60 to 62. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Jesus' prophecy comes true as Peter sits around the fire in a courtyard while the mock trial begins. Tearful, Peter wonders how he could do such a thing. He loves this man. He left everything behind to follow him. Peter has seen the miracles and signs that Jesus has done, and it comes to this. Personal fear leads him to betray his friend when he needs him most. In middle school, I was in Girl Scouts with a girl all my friends called weird. My mother encouraged me to be nice to her, so I was. I got to know her and liked her. She was smart and funny. We enjoyed the same music. One day I overheard a girl in our troop saying I was the weird girl's friend. I quickly corrected her. While I didn't cry over the betrayal, the thought of that conversation still makes my cheeks burn with shame. And now the full passage from Luke 22. This is verses 54 through 69. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men were holding Jesus, began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" They kept heaping many other insults on him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe, and if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." And the moving forward question for this day is, when has fear been your guide, and when has love? Now the commentary for Wednesday, December 14th, Ember Day, also called John of the Cross Day. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptist knew his call, and that never wavered. He was the one to come before the Messiah. He doesn't hesitate to play second fiddle to Jesus. "I always felt I had a call to ordain ministry. I explored this call by serving on vestry and altar guild and as a lector and Eucharistic minister. Talking with my priest was exciting and scary. All along, I thought I knew what was best for myself. I even convinced the Commission on Ministry that I was called to be a deacon. Within months, I realized that while I loved proclaiming the gospel and bringing the concerns of the world to the church, I was called to the table. Unlike John the Baptist, I hadn't listened to or trusted God. Telling the bishop was hard, but I went through the discernment process again. Seminary and ordination to the priesthood completed my deepest longings and helped me answer God's call to prepare the way of the Lord." And now I'll read the full passage for this day from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And the moving forward question for this day, are you following God's will for your life or your own? Now the commentary for Thursday, December 15th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. "But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our ancestor." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham." John the Baptist failed homiletics. No preacher would start a sermon by calling the crowd a brood of vipers. And to make matters worse, he tells them that their ancestor, Abraham, isn't going to give them a calling card to heaven. I wonder how John's listeners felt. Many of them were pious folks, otherwise they wouldn't be gathered to listen to the new preacher in town. They must have been shocked to be lectured. John is quick to let them know that if they want to be part of the coming kingdom, they need to change their behavior. Little do the people know how much the one who is to come would demand, but during this pronouncement they get a sneak peek of the future. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew chapter 3. These are verses 1 through 12. "In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.' This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And the moving forward question for this day is, piety or action? Which pleases God? The commentary for Friday, December 16th, begins with a passage from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. "They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption, for people are slaves to whatever masters them." Here's the commentary. "I say I love to work, but my friends have pointed out that this is cover for workaholism. While I put up a vigorous defense, they understand me more than I understand myself. Scientists say we may be wired for addiction of one sort or another. Certainly the author of 2 Peter understood that we are slaves to whatever masters us. Engaging in addictions to work, shopping, substances, food, worry, and countless other means, we are preoccupied and unable to be present to others. As slaves to our addictions, we can't create the intimacy we crave, and we chase what appears to be necessary for our enjoyment. As we move toward Christmas, this is a good time to examine our behaviors that keep us enslaved to joyless living. As we await the light of the world, let us cast off the works of darkness that imprison us in a jail of our own making." And now I'm going to read the full scripture for today from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 through 22. "These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them the deepest darkness has been reserved. For they speak bombastic nonsense, and with licentious desires of the flesh, they entice people who have just escaped from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption, for people are slaves to whatever masters them. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overpowered, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness, than, after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment that was passed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, 'The dog turns back to its own vomit, and the sow is washed only to wallow in the mud.'" And the moving forward question for this day, what keeps you from living your best life as a follower of Christ? Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, December 17th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 4b through 6. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John the Baptist shapes his preaching by quoting from Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. Since John was the son of the priest Zechariah, we can be sure he knew his scripture. I've always loved the words, "Every mountain and hill shall be made low." Growing up in West Virginia, we saw lots of mountains and hills leveled for Interstate 64, including the hilly apple farm of my great-grandmother, where I spent hours as a girl. Bulldozers smoothing out spots where apple trees once stood allowed us to see for miles. As God opens new paths in our lives, I'm reminded of Isaiah's promise that the mountains that obscure my vision from time to time will be smoothed out, allowing me to see God's direction for my life in new ways. And now I'll read from the full passage here from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. This is verses 1 through 9. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Leonicius ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the moving forward question for this day is, how has God opened a new path for you? Now let us turn to the final day in this week, Sunday, December 18th. It is the fourth Advent, the fourth Sunday of Advent, only 1 week before Christmas Day. The commentary begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. I dream a lot, and while few dreams provide direction, I've had marvelous and meaningful conversations, especially with my beloved grandmother, as I snuggle under one of her old quilts. Her messages seem to arrive when I need a good reminder of who and whose I am. Joseph has a life-changing dream when an angel encourages him to stay with Mary. The angel reassures him that the child will fulfill Isaiah's prophecy and directs Joseph to name the baby Emmanuel. It's hard to imagine waking up to the knowledge that you will be the parent of God with us. And yet we all have the opportunity to share that good news with everyone we meet. God has pitched a tent in our midst, and we're called to rest in that tent and sit around the campfire with God, sharing our stories, hopes, and dreams. And now the full passage from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid homage to him. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And the moving forward question for this day is, where do you meet God? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Pete, please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.